December
time in Latin, I must say. I did. You didn't know that I was somewhat of a Latin scholar. I mean, if you can count a D-plus as being a Latin scholar. I mean, let's put it this way. I was a worker in the wheat field. I mean, down there deep among the hitchhike hoax. I mean, I was knee-deep in declined verbs. It's terrible. Yeah. Oh, yes, at one time, I spoke a fairly fluent Italian. It was a fairly fluent Latin. I used to say, Puella, Puella. And I ran out of gas at about that point. In hocticular conch, in there, spittle out. Which basically translated means, please do not step on the poor little and spit not on the farmer. What's the matter with that? That's not bad. You shouldn't spit on farmers. Nothing wrong with that. I don't see anything funny in that. If you're a farmer and they're spitting on you, you wouldn't think that's funny. Hick, hike, hoke, wee. You want to know how to say that? In hoc, agricula conk. In est, spittle lauk. Agricula, well, agricula means a farmer. Right. Spittle means what it sounds like. Lauk, what does lauk mean? L-O-U-C. In hoc. Agricula conk. C-O-N-C. Kunk. Well, of course, I speak South Latin. But when you get involved in these classical studies, you get deeper involved in all kinds of theological discussions. I don't want to get into that. No, that's not our purpose here tonight. However, how the hell did you get on Latin anyway? What is this? Yeah. Yeah, that was a bad dream anyway. Yeah, well, you want to talk about canaries? No, I did not. It's not easy to make the leap from canary to Latin verbs. Not easy, but we managed it. But nevertheless, I must say that, that in my time, I have been a classical scholar of some note. And my mother used to get notes all the time at home from my classical scholarship, I'll tell you. I made a terrible mistake. For any of you out there, I believe that it is the duty of the victims of any Holocaust to pass on their experiences to the innocent. I made a fantastic mistake when I was in high school. For those of you who are still in high school, you may benefit from the disaster that I caused to come about upon myself. I think most disasters are self-wrought. Do you agree? I mean, unless you get hit by lightning. And that may be self-wrought, too. You can't go around wearing a lightning rod on the top of your head long without getting blasted right out of the birds, but out of the trees. But nevertheless, I brought it on myself. I must concede this, that in my high school, it was required, if you took a college prep course, that you take 2 years of a foreign language. Did you have that same requirement? Well, I figured, it's a foreign language. And I was when I was making out my class schedule, this was in the second semester of a high school. I was going to take this foreign language, so I sat down with the... It was time for registration. They had all these little blue cards, and they got you... They sent us a catalog of various things that were available in school. And the catalog, of course, had all kinds of implied value judgments. They would warn you about various courses. It's in little kind of phraseology, like an interesting course for truly serious scholars. That meant look out. If you're hanging on by your fingernails, be careful. This is liable to be the one that'll do it to you. Others were a fun course. That meant that if you're a dildoc and you're going out for the football team, you better take this one. Passing out towels in the gym. Yeah, they actually had a course that was similar to that. It was called Physical Education Administration. And its application, and it said 2 hours of lab work a week, which meant that you worked down in the gym passing out basketball bladders, stuff like that. But, yeah, you get credit for it. But nevertheless, there was this girl. Now, I think more than one male has been drawn into a maelstrom, into a veritable typhoon of disaster because of women in his life. And I might say it's the other way around. No question about it. That the curious and sometimes inexplicable factors which bring together two totally disparate individuals result often in gunplay. God knows what kind of legal fees it generally results in, and the weeping and wailing and lost lives. But I, at a very early age, second semester, there was this fantastic chick. By the way, she's almost totally disappeared from my mind. I just remember the name. Now, why I remember the name? Her name was Helen Kubelik. Started with a K. And she had all the basic sensuality that is often ascribed to the Slavic races. Yes, she was Lithuanian. And Helen Kubelik, with a K, Helen Kubelik would sit up there in the front of that class, and she would radiate a fantastic, almost a primal basic sensuality. She just radiated it without doing any trying. She just sat there, and it would just come out from her in waves. And you had to have a certain type of sophistication to appreciate it. That's true. Because I remember one time mentioning Helen Kubelik to Schwartz. Schwartz, I remember how the subject came up. I was back in the garage that me and Schwartz ate our lunch in, school lunch. Well, but I don't know why we went to the garage to eat our lunch. We'd gone there. Basically, these are things which one cannot explain after the fact. There's a hell of a lot in your life you can't explain, too. Do you agree? Why you did things at a certain time? Had a certain logic, inner logic, they call it, at the time, which has since been lost. But for some reason, which remains lost to history, and I'm sure that the later biographers will wonder about this, that me and Schwartz and Flick, Brunner, and Bolek Lakowski, and a couple of other guys, Claude Eaton, used to repair to the fashionable garage back of school every day to eat our lunch. Now, I believe, seriously, I really do believe, that Freud is only partly right in his analysis of the human character. I think a lot of things happened to the human being which did not have much to do with sex, one thing or another, that did cast a shadow and a pall upon his future life and set the course of his future life. I'll ask you a bit of trivia. Did you ever read a book called The Outsider? Who wrote it? Well, it had a lot of valid points. Very interesting book. I will leave that hanging. He's English, and he is English. He's still writing. But he wrote a book about what makes a guy into an outsider in his society. How does he get to be an outsider? It's very hard to pinpoint. It's not to say, well, you know, his background, his family life, none of this. A lot of things happen that cause you to slowly peel off from the general formation of mankind. If you can imagine mankind flying in formation... a whole flock of P-51s, and all of a sudden a couple of guys are playing Tail End Charlie, or they're way out somewhere doing individual reconnaissance work, and nobody knows why, see? Who knows, These are the great mysteries of the universe. Speaking of mysteries, this is one of them, WOR New York. Talent Kubelik, a human wearing blender.
Hoo-wee!
And Helen used to sit up there. She was with the kids, you know, up there in the middle of the class. And had I been closer, maybe it wouldn't have worked out the way it did. But I was in the back, and distance wins enchantment. This is always a fact. That when you sit out there and watch the movies of Vanessa Redgrave, it's easy to fall in love with her. But if she's living in the same room yelling at you all the time, it's a different scene. I mean, yeah, I speak with experience there. Yes, indeed. But nevertheless, the fact is that go to makeup, human disaster, are far more complex than the simple propositions of Freud. After all, Freud wrote almost 100 years ago. That man had hardly emerged from the stage where he had webbed feet. And the complications had not yet arisen. I will admit that the first thing that drew me to Helen Kubelik was not necessarily sex, distance, mean things. No. It was a far more exalted passion that I felt. When you're in the second year of high school, you tend to feel highly exalted passions. You write bad poetry. Yes, you do. And there I am, sitting in the back of the room there, and I see this Slavic, this high-cheekboned vessel of all that is desirable come in every day with her pals. We all know, because you know that all males know this, that every fantastically beautiful chick comes usually with an escort, like a destroyer escort of maybe 2 to 3 dogs. It's a fact that you have to get through those others to get to the real thing, and you generally have to find dates for the other too. It's very complex, this problem. So nevertheless, Helen Kubelik used to come in and radiate this Slavic passion. And I should have known after my experience with Josephine Kosnovsky that something was about to happen again. That's another story. It's beyond the scope of the current lecture, and I will not burden you with it. However, Helen Kubelik was a one-semester passion and never really got to the point of a passion. It was a concept more than a passion. And she was always in the distance there. So Helen Kubelik, on the day that we were registering for our classes for the following semester, happened to be, we were registering in the library, as a matter of fact. If you remember going through registration, okay, it was in the library. And we were seated randomly in the library. You could just sit anywhere you want with your registration cards and make them out. Well, I had my eye on Kubelik, Helen Kubelik, she of the high Slavic cheekbones and the slow eyes. That's spelled S-L-O-E, the slow berry. You've heard the term, haven't you? Her eyes were passions, pools of slow passion, S-L-O-E. You haven't heard that expression? You have. I'm surprised. I didn't know that you read, Jerry. I'm pleased and delighted. But nevertheless, she just had these dark eyes. Her eyes were pools of passion, had these high cheekbones, and she spoke with the slightest accent, just the slightest accent. A vague, heady Hamar accent, you know. She would say things like this. Well, opposite me at the library table was Helen Kubelik. And I am trying to read what she is writing down on her registration card because I wanted to get in the same classes where Helen Kubelik was in. Have you ever tried to do this? You haven't. I cannot imagine that I was, no, I couldn't be. I was not precocious. After all, it was the second semester of my first year in high school. You mean my interest in the Helen Kubelik of this world was an interest born of precocity? No. Because there were many of my peers who were interested in various other females that would go floating around the hall. So I was not alone. Don't tell me you weren't. My God, don't tell me. Jerry, you must have been. Yes, I can see you were. So I'm sitting there trying to figure out how I could get in classes with her. See, it was not enough to be in the homeroom with her, where we had really little contact. You must remember that our homeroom was a brief, like a 12-minute period before classes. You would come in there and sit there, and Miss Snyder would read the announcements of the day. You know, like, the biology club will meet in room 202 this afternoon at 3:45, immediately following the eighth period. Those of you who wish to look at the used book selection this year, you will find mimeograph sheets of used books available at the office. Miss Matson will give you one if you ask her. Any of you who wish to pay your locker fees, you have until, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, the very exciting news. And we didn't say much in the homeroom. And then just about the time Miss Snyder would finish with her last announcement, like, those of you who are, again, delinquent in your payment of the biology club dues will find that you will not be allowed to take part in the biology club picnic, according to Miss Crystal Reeder, the head of the biology club. The bell would go, and it was everybody for himself from that minute on. So I did not speak much to Helen Kubelik. I worshipped from afar. However, I knew she was in a college prep course, just like I was. I also knew that she was also a freshman, just like I was. So on this fated day, when I practically wrecked my life, I am sitting in the I'm sitting in the library, making out my blue registration cards for various classes to be taken the following semester. Now, this was always done in the springtime, so that when you came back the following fall, you would be properly registered and class would go in a fairly orderly fashion. Now, some schools had their registrations in the fall. Our school registered about 3 or 4 days before the last day of the year, before summer vacation. So, you know, it was a very advanced type of school. They assumed that all of us were going to pass into the next, you know, that was a terrible assumption. But I am sitting in the library on a nice, beautiful June day. And opposite me is sitting Helen Kubelik, and she has a very subtle perfume on. I can smell it. Usually in the library, which was located just over the gym, the perfume was very different. It was the boys' gym. And you could smell fermenting gym shoes and various other articles of gymnasium apparel. But on this day, the heady scent of musk. And the Venetian blinds were open, and it was a June day outside. I could hear the sound of tennis balls being batted back and forth by the tennis team. It was one of the fantastic moments. And I looked across into her mysterious, passionate eyes. And I said to her, excuse me, is your name Helen? She said, pretend I didn't know her. She says, yes. I said, what foreign language are you taking? And she says, Latin. I said, what? She says, Latin. Well, I said, that's a coincidence. I was about to sign up for Latin. By George, I'm taking Latin. what the course, who you were signing up for with 3 Latin teachers? Little did I realize that the 3 Latin teachers were like the 3 Witches of Endor. I did not know the Latin teachers. I only knew later that they were often called the 3 Witches of Endor by the more classically inclined failures in our class. They were. I signed up for the middle one. You're curious what her name was. Mrs. L.D. Enderby. Enderby, E-N-D-E-R-B-Y. Mrs. L.D. Enderby. Stands for Lillian. And the B, which we never did find out what it actually stood for, but it all, to the members of the class, it was damnation. They used to call her old damnation Enderby. And so, nevertheless, also she was known as Declension Enderby. So, hello, baby. So the story is a sickening one, and the show is in here, friend. But I said, who are you signing up for? And she says, gee, I don't know the name of the teacher. It's the second, second period, room 202. Well, so I hastily looked back through my catalog. Second period, room 202. Mrs. L.B. Enderby. Latin 1. And underneath it says a Latin 1 is available to students in the college preparatory courses. Mm-hmm. That's me. So I write down room 202, Mrs. L.B. Enderby, Latin 1. I signed my name. I figured I got it made. Me and Helen Kubelik sailing through the seas of classical literature together, translating Julius Caesar together, translating. You know, I could just hear the sound of classical lutes playing. Well, I signed up for that, and I'm still peering over at the, you know, the top of her book there to see what else she's signing up for. She signed up for a study hall, by the way, which met in the cafeteria. Yes, the study hall, the fourth period. She signed up for the third period lunch, which is normal, since I was also going to have lunch the third period. So everything went off pretty good. And that summer, I was making plans. All summer, I was going to, you know, I was looking for, you know how it is in the summertime when you're off for summer. You don't see a lot of the kids you see during the school year, right? Well, all summer, my passion grew for Helen Kubelik because this was a very dramatic summer for me in many ways. First of all, I grew 1.5 feet that summer. That's a trend. And, it's the year between my freshman year and my sophomore year. You do tend to grow heavily in that year. I grew heavily along with a certain glandular development. And various other things began to manifest themselves. And, that's beyond the scope of the course at this point. We will take up biology next semester. Towards about the end of the month of August, it began to be obvious that school was going to occur again that year. Our worst fears were realized. But school was about to happen again. And there was a certain amount of excitement beginning to grow. Of course, I at that time was deeply involved in summer football practice. We had spring and summer football practice. So I went back to school in August. Schwartz and a couple of other guys. Schwartz was 2.5 feet tall, weighed 93 pounds. So obviously Schwartz was not out for football. No way. But I was. And so that summer, I spent doing things called, that late August, I spent doing things called the rocking chair. It's a fantastic form of physical cruelty, which was devised by the PT department. You know what the rocking chair is? Of course you do. You know what the chicken squat is, don't you? That's a goodie. When you put your arms out akimbo, and you put them under your armpits like that, and you squat. And then you hop up and down to the count of 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. And when the Huffine, the PT type, would get particularly sadistic, he would also have us cluck as we did it. He says it develops your lungs. So to see 295-pound football players wearing sweatsuits with their arms akimbo hopping around the football field going, 1, 2, 3, 4. Very humiliating, and also it sure hurts your gut. You used to get unbelievable cramps in the thighs from that one. That was a goodie for the thigh muscles. And sweating like, absolutely like stuck pigs, hopping up and down. Well, that August went slowly and painfully. And as September approached, we began to have games. We began to play inter-squad scrimmages. At that point, I was on what they call the JV, the junior varsity. I was on the second team. That's a polite name for second team. But that was still nevertheless the varsity. And so the JV would scrimmage against the first team. And that was pretty violent, especially since we were continually playing defense. I can't... And there's nothing. I don't know whether any of you, of course, any kid that's ever been out for major football varsity play. After all, this is a big school. We had 3,000 students. Oh yes, that's a big school, and it was a tough scene to be on that football team. Many were Many came, but damn few were chosen, I could tell you. And there I was. And I didn't realize at the time when I was chosen to be on this junior varsity, it was chosen not for my ability at that point to play football, but for my ability to take continuous and unending and totally sadistic punishment. We were constantly on defense against the varsity, which was running offensive plays against. We never got the ball. We never got to do anything back. And by the way, every little success that we would have, like say breaking through the defense and tackling a guy for say a 5-yard loss, would be treated as a capital crime. Well, I don't know why I'm telling you all this, except to say that this terribly, terribly physical and often disastrous August was only the prelude to a further disaster. All right, you want to hear the further disaster? You want to hear it, all right? 3 days before the opening of school, the JV played its first JV ball game against another JV of another school, namely George Rogers Clark. Well, the opening ball game started with us receiving. And by the end of the first quarter, the score stood at 0-0, and the tension was growing between the defensive platoon and the offensive platoon. Every time we would get that ball, within maybe 20, 30 seconds, there would be a fumble. We would be back out there again. So we're playing hour after hour defensive football. And finally, we eked out a measly touchdown, which was scored by the defensive club recovering a fumble in the end zone. So the halftime is a very tense halftime. Well, suffice it to say that there were two broken ribs on the defensive club. There were at least three busted noses. There were about 9 sprained ankles and assorted problems as a result of their first ball game with George Rogers Clark. 3 days later, I'm sitting there with a heavy bandage around my left wrist, as you're curious. Heavy bandage around my left wrist. I had a piece of plaster under this left eye where I got grazed by a spike in the middle of a very interesting altercation down on the 7-yard line. And I find myself in my first Latin class. My body pain aches. And up there is Miss William Enderby. Very high voice.
He said, I talk with him. And she did say, we are going to study a great classical language. And the language is Latin. For those of you who have had an interest in history, you will find this is a very rewarding experience. But Latin itself is the basis and the formation of all Western languages, with the exception of certain languages, which will come up later in the semester.
No, Helen Kubelik. Helen Kubelik has transferred to another class. God knows. I never saw her again, incidentally, if you're curious. Helen Kubelik never again entered my ken. But Miss Enderby did. By the end of the second week, I know that this is something I cannot understand. I can't understand Latin at all. I can't understand the first. I don't know what they're talking about. And already these guys are sitting there having long conversations. There were people in my class who saying things like, Paula, come on in, and Hawkins, what the hell is going on here? It was then that I stepped from the frying pan into the fire. You had 2 weeks if you wanted to transfer to another class. And in desperation, I went up to my advisor. I said to Miss Snyder, my bandaged wrist, paining me, throbbing me. A great swatch of plaster under my left eye, which, by the way, I still bear the scar for. But a lot of you people thought that I had 3 eyes. No, that's a scar right there. So I went up to Miss Snyder and I said, Miss Snyder, you're my advisor. Please give me some advice. She said, yes. I said, I just can't hack it there in that Latin class. What am I going to do? And she says, well, I am a student. I would suggest that you transfer to, why don't you transfer to Miss Linus' class? I said, Miss Linus' class? Yes, sir, that's good. A German. Okay, great. I said, you know, I mean, I knew words. I knew German words like, I had read a lot of war stories. Like, they would say things like, ja, war. They would say things like, Schweinhorn. So I figured I knew something about German. You know, a schweizel coffee cake. I signed up for German. Let me tell you this thing. Latin, at least, is printed in civilized letters. Have you ever tried to read German letters? I couldn't even read the damn letters. I mean, what the hell? You know, it looked like a whole bunch of Roman Greek manuscripts or something. Well, I'm going to say that by the end of the second week of German, I had transferred out of college preparatory, and I was taking what's called printing and shop 1 and 2. Oh, God.